Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Tell Will Brinson he still hasn't paid for the Fantasy Baseball League yet. What's he doing?
Okay, I'll make sure to tell him that. Bull, thank you very much.
You want to talk to him yourself?
No. Yeah, I mean,
yeah. Will, you haven't paid up. Will, what happened?
Let's get Will Brinson on the North.
Is baseball happening? Did I miss something? Yeah,
I don't know. It might not. This is crazy.
I cannot believe it.
Kirk Herbstreit probably refuses to get in any leagues right now.
Baseball leagues were on hold until future notice.
They are. I'm just kidding. All right, you guys have fun with Will. And I'll talk to you later.
All right, Bull. Take care of yourself, bud.
Later.
Adam the Bull joining us on the show out of nowhere. Did a run-in right here on the show. Now we go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in Will Brinson. You're in his fantasy baseball league, Will?
Yeah. It's a very complicated league. I joined last year, and it's a long, long story. But I also have to buy a new phone before I can... No, pay for my baseball league.
Well, so what? By the way, we wanted to have you on a couple days ago. You were on a walk, and it fell into the trees, or it fell into leaves. What's going on here?
So here's the deal. We have this wireless charger in my living room, but you can't charge it when the phone is in the case. You have to like take the phone out of the case. So I've had my phone out of the case, non-cased. A lot lately, because I've been charging on the wireless charger in my living room. And I always take my dog, George, this moron King Charles Cavalier Spaniel, for a walk in the mornings. And I'm walking with phone, no case, and I have a cup of coffee in my – I have a leash on my right arm, coffee in my left hand, because I don't want him to take off after a bird and the coffee go flying up in the air. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading something on my phone in my right hand. And George takes off after a bird, and instead of my coffee flying in the air, my phone flies in the air, and it decided not to power up for a little while. This actually happened. What was it? It was like a month or two ago. It wouldn't power up for an entire Saturday. It was actually an incredible Saturday. I couldn't communicate with anybody. But the phone's a POS, and I'm not due for a replacement until September.
I'm looking at a picture of the dog right here. These don't look like big, powerful dogs, real quick, buddy.
No, he's not strong, but I mean, he's insane. The dog jerks the leash and he takes off, and you got coffee in one hand and a phone in the other. You drop the phone, the phone's going to hit the sidewalk. You want me to scoop my phone with my coffee cup?
That's a good point. That's probably a good point. Anthony, go right on ahead. Let's get into the questions, my friend.
Well, I can promise Also, I just want to point out there's no stopping George. George is a psychopath. He once ate an entire – I caught him with a dead bird in his mouth. He swallowed the whole thing, bones and all.
Yeah, George is getting upset. Let's talk about Adrian Claiborne. It was kind of an under-the-radar signing, but Will Brinson, I judge all signings and all coaching hires by looking at the previous team's Reddit boards, and that tells me everything I need to know. It seemed like Falcons fans were pretty upset about losing Adrian Claiborne.
Yeah, you know, I did Bill Barnwell's podcast on what's today? Today is Wednesday. Oh, God, it's April Fool's. I hate April Fool's. Tuesday. It's out, and it just came out now. And we're looking for homes for free agents, and I had ended up, just sort of looking at spots where Everson Griffin could land, and he made sense to me. Adrian Claiborne was on our list. But, you know, if you're thinking about going with, Everson Griffin, who would be a little bit more expensive, I think, than Adrian Claiborne, then this makes a lot of sense. If you're talking about a contract that's around $6 million for 2 years, presumably, you know, you want to get some more rotational help on that pass rush defensive line. He fits in that mold. He's a guy that has had some really, really big highs. Like, I don't know if you remember the time, was it two years ago or last year? I've decided, that, by the way, that any mental slip-up in terms of remembering like when someone did something in the NFL or like where like or like remembering somebody's name is like I get a free pass for it during quarantine. My brain is gone completely fried. At any rate, at one point, Claiborne, when Tyron Smith was out for the Cowboys, he sacked Dak five times in one game or four times in one game. He's got a ton of upside, and I think if he doesn't have to be your primary defensive end who's out there on a ton of snaps, and you can rotate him in like that maybe more, then he fits very well with what the Browns want to do.
Will Brinson joining us on the show. Do you think it's a bad idea to have the draft as is on April 23rd, or do you thirst for the entertainment?
Well, it's my wife's birthday, so it's a terrible idea. She thought I was going to be in Vegas, so I guess it's a net win for her that I'm stuffed in the house and not talking to her. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's I'm fine with it. I think that absent any absolute necessity to change things that are already planned, for the NFL, it makes sense to go ahead with what they have scheduled because I don't think it's – I mean, I agree that, you know, it's – you don't want to look like tone deaf by refusing to move an event like this. However, we don't know what the world is going to look like, you know, on May 15th or May 23rd or June 23rd. You know, we don't know anything. And there are people that presume that once it gets warm that this virus is going to cool off. Like, I mean, scientists literally don't know. It could feed on the heat. I mean, like, they don't know. So I think I understand why the NFL would go ahead with things as they are currently planned and try to just work around them. Now, having said that, it's obvious, and I'm okay with it, that the NFL is playing off a literally captive audience, and is willing to trot the draft out there on April 23rd and then trot the schedule out on May 9th, knowing that the ratings are probably going to be really, really good because everyone is at home and everyone will be watching. And I don't have a problem with that either. Like, if they were moving the draft from, like, June to April to try and get a hold of the captive audience, I would have a problem with that. But just going with it as a status quo right now, it doesn't really bother me too much.
Will Brinson joined us on the hotline. Do you think there's any inherent advantage or disadvantage for a team like the Browns that has an inexperienced front office, at least in terms of the GM, but also they tend to, if they are as analytical as people think, they tend to care more about things like data. Could that help them or hurt them at a time like this?
Well, I think you listed one inherent disadvantage and one inherent advantage. I mean, I think the data is certainly something that can, you know, it behooves you to utilize data and to, no, I mean, not all around, like you have to have your, you know, you want to compare it with, you know, you want to blend it with what your scouts see and what you see with your own football, you know, football eyes out there on the tape. But yeah, I mean, I think the data helps a ton. Like you're able to not shortcut stuff, but you can be more efficient by chopping through, like, you know, if you look at it as a field of wheat, you know, you can go through and sort of knock out some of the outer edges as you sort of work your way towards the center by using that data to take out wide swaths of stuff that you might not be interested in. Maybe you can hone in on somebody who's underrated that might have popped up throughout this draft process as more teams had better time and more one-on-one opportunities to meet with guys. But, yeah, I mean, I certainly think that the first-year GMs and first-year coaches are and you know, if you're in Cleveland, you got a pair of them, you're at a huge disadvantage. I mean, you know, these guys have seen it done before, but they've never done it themselves. I mean, you could watch somebody, I mean, the drive a car thing isn't probably smart to use, but you can watch somebody drive a car all you want, but then when you get behind the wheel the first time, you know, it's a little more difficult than you think by just watching somebody else do it from shotgun. So I think the problem for these guys, and I would assume that they're doing this, and I would be curious to know how they're practicing, excuse me, but I would guess that, like, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski and everybody else involved in the draft process, the Haslams, I assume, will have a meaty hook on this draft process as well. I'd be curious how they're going through and, like, doing test runs for draft night, because I would want to make sure that I, like, you know, these Zoom people are like hacking Zooms and stuff like that. Like, I would want to know what my process was, and I wouldn't want to do a dress rehearsal and go through with, like, fake names and all of that and practice being on the clock, et cetera, practice making a call. I mean, I think that would behoove them greatly to figure out what the process is going to be so you can streamline it and not run into any technical snafus or first-time snafus when you're going through what you think you're going to go through.
We got Will Brinson joining us on the show. Jake Delhomme, former Cleveland Brown, was on Bull and Fox yesterday. He's pretty critical of Baker, so, you know, and a lot of people have been, and says that maybe Case Keenum, if they started off poorly, Case Keenum could replace Baker Mayfield. What are your thoughts on that, and also what type of Baker Mayfield do we see this year?
Jake Delhomme, Carolina Panthers legend. I've been hawking Bojangles around these parts forever.
That's good food. Yeah, I don't blame him.
You guys ever had Bojangles?
Oh, God, every time I'm in the South. We were supposed to go to North Carolina next month, and that was one of the things I was looking forward to doing.
Where were you going to North Carolina?
We were going to Topsail Beach.
Love Topsail, yeah, sure.
Is that nice? I had no idea. Liz puts all that together. But we're not going now. Maybe we'll go next year.
Yeah, go next year. Come next year. We're not far away. I don't think that's that far-fetched. I mean, I think look at the Bears last year when Mitchell Trubisky started to struggle. And it's a different situation, but not entirely. I mean, both high draft picks, both on teams that have sort of failed to get a footing, et cetera, and concerns about, you know, being able to make a playoff run in a very important and critical year. People were calling for Chase Daniel to replace Mr. Trubisky at various points. So I don't think it's shocking. I mean, it's not impossible. It's not, you know, I think Kevin Stefanski understands the situation he walked into. I mean, the Cleveland Browns, man, do they like firing head coaches, and they like not being patient with them. So it would, you know, understandably, he probably knows that if, you know, for some reason Baker can't grasp the offense and can't get things going the way that they want him to. And they're going to give him every opportunity to do whatever he's got to do before they pull the ripcord and go to Case Keenum. Like, benching your former number one overall pick early in the year is not something you want to do. And I'm not personally worried about Baker. I think he will bounce back in a big way this year. I think Stefanski, he saw what he did from an offensive coordinator standpoint last year with Kirk Cousins. Like, he puts him in play action. He puts him in favorable situations that cater to his skill set. I think he'll do the same thing with Baker. And that's the opposite of what happened last year. Now, Baker got, you know, he got jumpy, and he fled from some clean pockets, and he liked to run to his right and all that stuff, and that's fine. I just think that if he's made to be comfortable, he will be a much better quarterback. So yeah, I don't think Jake's wrong, but I don't think it'll happen. I think the Browns will be extremely patient with Baker, as patient as they can be.
All right, well, one final thing. We're just looking for an outsider perspective, and we know you at times have adored the Browns, but logo on the helmet. However, a new draft hat came out with the Brownie the Elf logo on the hat. What do people say outside of Cleveland about the Browns' lack of a logo, and what do they think about Brownie the Elf?
I don't know if there's ever been any real criticism of Brownie the Elf. I look at him like NC State's little strut wolf. I mean, the strut wolf is obviously cooler, but it's like an old school logo. It's a throwback. I like it. I like Brownie the Elf. I do adore the Browns. The only time I got off the bandwagon was last year when everybody got on the bandwagon. It's not fun to be on the bandwagon whenever I jumps on, and it turned out that was fortuitous. I don't mind the no logo. I don't have a problem with the Browns uniform. I mean, they're called the Browns. Like, the uniforms are going to be a little brownie. And so throw Brownie the Elf on there. I would wear a Brownie the Elf t-shirt if somebody sent me one.
Okay, well, I think we could probably have something happen to that effect. I know that. We're either sending him the Brownie the Elf or we'll send him the pumpkin head, Anthony. One of the two. That's just to troll our own fans.
Let him decide.
Will, we thank you so much for the time, buddy. All the best to you and yours. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Talk soon. See ya.
Thank you. Will Brinson, North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Fantastic stuff from him. 216-578-0092. When we come back, I have a fair warning for everybody on social media when we come back, because something really bothered me during the last break. And also, for all you folks who are thinking about calling the cops, I got a new hero for you. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai,
There's joy in every journey.